You're listening to the Star Wars Report, Episode 2, Connecting with the Old Republic. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Report. I'm Riley.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Mark.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is our E3 coverage of all the Star Wars goodness that's going on over there at the Electronic Entertainment Expo. I think I have that right. But yeah, we've got a lot of cool stuff to talk about, mainly the Old Republic, and of course, Microsoft's announcement of Kinect Star Wars. Star Wars,
yes.
Kinect?
It's,
I'm trying to recall
Kinect.
What it's called.
It's Kinect Star Wars.
Okay, and that little game that everybody forgot about, Clone Wars Adventures. Remember that, Mark?
Yeah, my kids actually play it quite a bit.
Really? Really, they do? Well, is that a favorite game at the Hurlman house? Is it pretty popular?
It is a pretty popular game. So popular, I think my son's got about 48 accounts. It's like every time he plays the game, he starts a new account. He doesn't want to play his old one. He wants to start a new character.
Oh,
I keep
man.
Trying to get him to play KOTOR and do that. It's like, hey, buddy, you can build your character all day long in this game. But no, he wants to do it on the Star Wars Adventure. So.
Imagine him with the Old Republic. That would be interesting.
I I'm trying to foster it with the reading aspect because he's at that age where they're really starting to read on their own and stuff. Whereas sister, she'll sit there and she'll, you know, she's reading it. And she's like, oh, this is kind of cool. And she'll come out, hey, Dad, what's this word? I come back there. Oh, frigate. You know, things like that. But, you know, I'm really excited about that aspect of kids, you know, because when my son started playing Battlefront 2, wow, that changed everything. Suddenly, you know, it started, we were sitting in a hangar bay. And I was trying to teach him the ins and outs of the targeting system. Hey, look, you can see my face. I can see your face. Oh, Dad, come back. Come back. I want to see your face. Okay. I come over. I'm looking. He's looking at my face. He brings the crosshairs up. Blam! I die.
Just like, nice,
it has
nice.
Begun.
Well, before we get into the actual news and the meat, the nitty gritty, I'd like to give a quick shout out and thank you to Aaron Goins, who did a fabulous roundup of his trip to Star Wars Weekends over down in Florida at Disney. I was actually, a little bit of insight, we were kind of hoping he could just kind of scope out the Orlando Convention Center there, because it's not that far away. But unfortunately wasn't able to. However, that's just fine, because he provided us with so much great coverage at the event, and you can find all of that over at our website, StarWarsReport.com. And he provided us with pictures, a video that's on the of the Behind the Force panel that's on our Facebook page. And so, yeah, thank you so much, Aaron. And as we did on the last episode, welcome to the team. Welcome to the team, sir.
Yeah, awesome job.
All right, let's go ahead and get into the news. Let's begin with the Old Republic. They released the first trailer cinematic. This is kind of confusing. They released the opening cinematic of the game as a trailer. Now, of course, this opening cinematic was done by Blur Studios, and it has that same animation style as the Deceived trailer and the Hope trailer before it. So it really felt like a trailer, but this thing, 6 minutes long, the longest one yet. And so I'm very excited to watch this. What we're going to do, guys, is kind of have a initial commentary while we watch it together.
Awesome.
So let's go ahead and get this thing started. All right, we've got it playing. May contain material inappropriate for children, such as smugglers.
And lightsaber battles.
All right, here we go. We've got, of course, the BioWare and LucasArts logo. Now, whenever I come to these trailers, these are the things that I'm always most excited about.
Korriban, ancient birthplace of the Sith. We believed ruins were all that remained of their evil empire.
That's Sean, right?
Yes. So that's Basil Shan.
No,
I'm sorry.
Shan.
Thank you, Satil Shan.
I'm innocent. You were smuggling Sith artifacts.
That's her master
Fine,
speaking.
Fine, keep the artifacts. Just give me back my ship.
I love the look of the bounty hunter here, and like the little details of he's kind of oogling over at the Twi'lek smuggler that passes him. little details.
He's got like
that.
A Han Solo meets Cad Bane feel.
He's
a great dark.
Down to the trench coat and cowboy hat. This is, they go full on Western with this guy. And of course,
you know, another cool thing though is that the clone troopers, or not clone troopers, the troopers with them, one of the two is the awesome trooper from the Hope trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not notice that the first time I watched it. But yeah, when you watch these trailers, you can see the detail that Blur Studios puts into these things. Here he is.
I can't wait to see what costumers do with these costumes.
Oh, I want the smuggler.
I know. All hands evacuate.
Oh my goodness. And the Jedi action with the lightsabers, I think, is some of my favorite stuff, because when we interviewed one of the animators over at Blur Studios back in the EUcast, he talked about how they get motion capture stuntmen in the studio there at Blur to capture all of these movements to get that kind of realistic flipping and
slow-mo shot of the smuggler.
All right, hold it. Yeah. We've got the smuggler.
Yeah,
both
dude, that's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
I like how he goes out and saves the troopers.
Yeah. And the cool little details he's got on the sleeves, like there's something glowing down his sleeves.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he has on some kind of armor under the trench coat and everything.
Yes.
So. And his ship is completely damaged.
She's not pretty, but she's tough.
Which is basically code for, she may not look pretty, but you know, she's got it where it counts. It's like a direct Han Solo reference there.
Oh yeah. This is so reminiscent of Star Wars movies. I mean,
thematically.
Okay, at first I thought that was Darth Thanatos or whatever his name is from the Free Web comic. We learn when his mask comes off, it's not that same guy, but he has the same outfit. Yeah. So yeah. I'm interested to know what it is about that master, the Sith Master's class, because they wear an identical uniform, that group. Whether it's Sith Inquisitor or whatever it is. Ooh, I can't wait to know more.
The move where Satil Shan's master saves her by throwing the lightsaber over and blocking the Sith's attack, that it was just an incredible idea.
Yeah, they come up with such amazing stuff with these things, because you see this right here using, especially, I'll turn it up, you can hear the... They were playing Battle of the Heroes and Duel of Fates, two of my favorite Star Wars score songs of the battles. And of course, we now see the Master sacrificing himself for
Satil Shan. The Obi-Wan moment.
With a double-bladed lightsaber and a standard lightsaber.
Well, that's because she threw it to him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like how all four of these good guys work together to escape. On
those guns, that was the first thing I saw. I see this, and I'm like, I can't honestly pick one class I want to play over the others.
I know.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I guess we'll get into it more after the trailer, but that's the thing about the difference between the gameplay footage and these Blur cutscenes. All right. Oh, the big reveal.
Masai Sith!
And the asteroid chase. Again, very reminiscent with the Millennium Falcon-style blasters. This fight reminds me so much of the Phantom Menace.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
It also reminded me of Dooku versus Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah.
In the beginning of episode 3.
And very much like Darth Maul's battle, the Qui-Gon Jinn of the Sith drops first.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I'm Malchus Kenobi, and I'm avenging my master.
Oh, man. Malchus is a really impressive Sith. Everyone knows that.
Get the memo? Darth awesome!
Yep.
And
it shows Satil's sadness. I like, as a Jedi, she shows her sadness momentarily, but she realizes she can't focus on it.
Yeah.
One thing I love about all these Blur trailers is the way that they have the ability to have you instantly connect with the characters that they're showing.
Yes.
With almost no time. I mean, this thing's 6 minutes, but you automatically can sympathize with each of the characters because they're archetypal characters, which Star Wars does so well.
Well, that's like this scene. I love it because here you've got his master finally back to Korriban, and Malgus is going to take advantage of the injury in classic Sith style and take out the master. So it's like the master wins back Korriban for the Sith, but never gets to actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being a Sith might be cool, but if you were a Sith in real life, that is the thought that I would die like that, you know, like 98% certainly die like that, would deter me.
But in the game-wise, I am really excited about the Sith because I hope they really play up the history there, because that is one of the biggest story points for the game slash this era, and that is that the Sith Empire has returned. We have Lost Sons number one, the comic, has just come out, and if I recall correctly, they basically say that that comic takes place 30 years after this trailer.
Wow.
When the Sith Empire comes back and they know that they're back, it's then 30 years later, but they don't give us an actual time of when that date is. They just say it's 30 years later, and you're just like, so is like, is it 30 years after the Battle of Coruscant or when they first show up? There's a lot there, and they've been giving us so much, but at the same time, it's like not quite all put in order. So those people out there that are big chronology buffs, they're probably out there just biting their nails wanting to know these dates so they can just start filing it in.
Yes. Well, and I'm not very knowledgeable in the Old Republic time frame or the chronology there, because I don't think I've read any of the materials Old Republic so far, but these Blur trailers are the things that, for me, have really been the best part of any of this anticipation that this game has created, because, I mean, to be perfectly honest, the gameplay footage doesn't hold a candle to it, and that's just me, because I'm not interested in that type of gameplay or that type of gaming. As much, but I love the premise of the Old Republic, and I love the execution of these cinematics. They're not trailers, they're cinematics, because it's not like they're cutting in and out trying to advertise something. You know, you're getting 5 minutes, 6 minutes of story, not unlike really the old Clone Wars, that the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars series, and those were kind of like 5 minute, 6 minute excerpts of story. So I've each year for the past 3 years, we've gotten one of these cinematics. And
yeah, they've all been cinematics, too, because, not one of them is an actual...
And I just really, really look forward to it each year. I love a comment I saw online, which is, they need to never release the game. I want to see each one of these trailers every year.
That comment made me laugh. It should be noted that this cinematic trailer, which is titled Return, is not what was actually played during the press conference for this event. The trailer that was played at E3 was called Choose, and it's a mashup of all three cinematics that we've seen so far with new dialogue voiced over it. So you can check that out too.
Do we want to listen to it now or head along?
Well, if you've got it, we might as well do it.
Why not? All right, let me pull it up here. Yeah.
Do what must be done.
I love that shot of Alderaan.
For centuries, the galaxy knew peace.
For centuries, we waited.
Until the Empire returned, attacking without mercy.
Struck the Republic, reclaiming our ancient home.
Now we must defend the Republic.
Now we begin our true assault.
Though many have died,
and though the Republic fights on,
we will prevail.
We will destroy them.
Oh. awesome. It really is.
I mean, that's such a cliche thing to say, but it's true.
Oh my goodness. All right.
We will put links to all of these things in our show notes.
So yes. Sure. Everything we're talking about here will be in the show notes. But all right, it's time, guys. After seeing that, that was what was shown at E3.
That was the
mashup
style
of the three trailers with, of course, the voiceover of the two separate perspectives. I mean, I loved the way they handled that.
It's interesting from Malgus's point of view, and I won't throw many spoilers out here for those who have not read Deceived, but Malgus, let's see, I got to find the right way to word this so I'm not putting any spoilers out there. Malgus's mission with the Sith is a little bit different than the Emperor's mission for the Sith. And I am, in this whole era, very interested in what is going on with the Emperor, because he has obviously been around for a while. But the other thing I'm noticing from, because I got the comic yesterday, is it seems that the Sith in this era are very much attached to their Jedi roots. That a lot of the hatred at this point is coming from the fact that these Sith see themselves as Jedi who were just exiled. And so there's a real bitterness there, and it's almost kind of like they're reluctant to take the term Sith, you know, and I'm just loving that, because at the same time, this era has got so many incarnations of what Sith are. So I'm loving as it's growing and it's fleshing itself out, what we know or think we know is retconning constantly because, you know, not all the details are there. So as the fans are putting the picture together in our minds, and the dates are shifting and stuff, the story, as what we're interpreting it, is changing as well. And that's part of the fun when you're writing these things as they're coming out, a little bit here, a little bit there. And man, I tell you, Malgus and that Sith Emperor, I'm just so excited to learn about them.
I love the voice actor who does Malgus. For 300 years, we prepared. That guy has some power behind it. I want to hear that on the Clone Wars.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, a complaint that I've heard, though, is that these trailers come up, and they show us these characters, and there's not really much going on character-wise, and we see him do a lightsaber fight, and everybody's like, oh, that guy's awesome.
You know,
my argument there was that puts it on the shoulders of the book writers, the comic writers, and everyone else to earn that awesome. Because, as fans, we see an awesome fight, and we're like, oh, it's Darth Awesome. That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
You see what he did? It was awesome.
Exactly.
But I read Deceived, and that author brought the awesome. I mean, you know, like I was talking to the guy when I was explaining this to him, it's like, you know, I see Malgus and everything I've been presented both in the books and out of the books. That is exactly what I think of a Sith. I mean, everything he's doing, that's what I would expect him to do from everything I've read in the EU that talks about the mentality of a Sith. Oh, I just love the character. I can't wait for this game to flesh things out.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, it's for me, it goes back to Star Wars is best served in a visual fashion. And I will stand by that. And that's why creating a 6-minute trailer, you can get that impression. And it is difficult to do in a medium like a comic or especially a novel. So you're right, Mark. It is very difficult sometimes to capture that same level of awesome factor.
Well, and I think in the novels especially, that the better novels for most readers, and I say better for most readers, you know, because everybody's got different opinions, but the better ones are the ones that take that element that reading does and gives you that visual. I mean, there are some books you grab it and you crack it open and you are literally watching the movie in your mind. And then there are other books that it's like the writing is a little subpar at spots and you find you kind of get away from that imagination feel because you're kind of more focused on the wording and how it doesn't quite line up. But those books that get it right, you know, you open it up and immediately you're seeing what the author wants you to see and you're riding along with them and you have them moving your mind. It's like those authors are able to capitalize on what you said is Star Wars, that visual aspect. And it is hardest to do in the book.
Actually, and something that a writer for IGN who went and played a demo of the game said and saw this opening cinematic of the game said, quote, "I typically don't like MMOs. But until recently, it's been difficult for me to define exactly why. I certainly don't mind investing a significant amount of time in a game, and while it's not my favorite thing to do, I'm not opposed to playing with other people. After my demo of Star Wars The Old Republic today, BioWare helped me realize what should have been obvious. MMOs don't have engaging enough stories for my tastes. Story is something I place a high value on in most games, and that's why The Old Republic is intriguing to me. It looks to combine a deep storytelling of games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age with the already uber-popular Star Wars universe for me. That's a marriage made in heaven. The storytelling is exciting but subtle and manages to create the same kind of engagement the films do. After seeing the demo today, I'm interested where I held no interest before. If I'm in the indication, The Old Republic may just be the MMO that converts the MMO haters. He goes on to say that he talks specifically about different story points and says that he really likes it and points out very subtle moments in the intro cinematic.
Yeah.
You know, you see that Satil Shan is deeply hurt when her master dies.
Yeah, the key there when he says is it manages to create the same kind of engagement that the films do.
Exactly.
And that's very key when you're talking about something on Star Wars, because whenever you're doing something in the Star Wars universe, you're constantly, or at least should be, constantly comparing yourself against the films and what made them classic and what engaged. And really, I sometimes am a little bit worried about The Old Republic as a story, because playing Knights of the Old Republic, for instance, you have a really long and complex story, which by itself was fun, but wasn't very traditionally Star Wars. So if you translate that to The Old Republic, and you're playing this game, and it's 50 hours and 60 hours of story, if it's good story, that's good, but it has the potential, I think, to really kind of overcrowd itself and not really feel like a Star Wars story, at least to me personally. Because when you think about it, the films are very archetypal stories. Who was anyone surprised when the Death Star blew up?
Not really.
I mean, it's like the classic story that's based upon, you know, the hero's journey, and it's your Frodo Baggins, your Harry Potter, your Luke Skywalker.
Frodo!
But it's a very, very common thread throughout Star Wars. So I think the potential for an overly complex story in the medium of an MMORPG is certainly there. And I guess that won't bother some people, but it will. No. It could. That's probably one of the bigger reasons I probably won't be playing it. It's not just the time and stuff, but the way the story might translate.
Well, you know, one point of view I've never quite understood is the ones that watch these trailers and get upset because of what they consider cliche things. Oh, that was already done in the original trilogy, or that was done in the prequel trilogy. Can't they come up with anything new and original? And I stop because, you know, granted, you've got both sides of this when people see this trailer. You've got people that immediately start attacking George Lucas. This is how it should have been done. Are you taking notes, George? Uncalled for.
We pointed out the similarities between the old trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and this. It's all Star Wars. It all has aspects of Star Wars in it. Some people may like parts of it better than others. Other people like the other parts. Just enjoy what you do enjoy in Star Wars, and if you don't, go watch Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. But the thing that gets me, though, is it's like George Lucas is making the Clone Wars, and what does he do? We're at least going to hear, I got a bad feeling about this in every episode. You know, there are things that George repeats every single time, and we are all okay with it when George does it. But heaven forbid some author, some director, some writer, anyone else do it in the EU, or we're just going to castrate them or whatever. I mean, I just don't get that. It makes no sense to me why it's okay for George to do it, but if anyone else does it, boy, that's just, you're just cheapening Star Wars.
Exactly, and it goes
loses me.
I think it goes right back to the medium. I bet if these cinematics were compiled or were released in 22-minute episodes or in an hour episode as an Old Republic miniseries produced by Blur Studios. By the way, I would pay through the nose to see that. But no, just imagine. The match made in heaven, Blur Studios produces, and this is just my like personal preference, you know, with George Lucas supervising, but with a separate director overviewing the way the CG is done, and then Blur Studios animators, those guys doing a 6-episode, hour-long each miniseries that focused on this era and told the story of Darth Malgus, and perhaps the rise and fall of the Sith Empire over the course of whatever the time period is. You know, something like that, just to be ideal. But you're right, I'm just thinking, if there were references to the old films that were very blatant or commonly used, I don't think there would be too many complaints. I don't know, maybe not. But I can kind of see where you're coming from there, Mark.
Well, here's the thought, okay? In Deceived, I think it was like Chapter 1 or Chapter 2, the entire betrayal trailer is in there. I mean, it is literally the scene happening. And if you think about it from that aspect, to take, like, say, Blur Studios, give them a book, like, oh, Star by Star, Anakin Solo's death. here, we're going to give you this chapter where Anakin Solo dies. Why don't you make a trailer out of it? And doing that for each book, where each book has like one of the best scenes, and they make a little cinematic trailer from Blur Studios showing you what's going to be, what you can expect to find in there in a visual format. I mean, because that is basically what the Betrayal trailer was. We just didn't have the book first.
Yeah, we just kind of had the glimpse at the story beforehand, which is a very neat tactic, by the way. But yeah, I could see that. And when it comes to this, let's just get right to it. This should be on screen. On the big screen, preferably. This should be linear, either serial or maybe even just a film. But there should be something beyond just an MMORPG. Now, granted, people have wanted a Star Wars MMO that was better than Galaxies. I mean, well, since before Galaxies. So, I mean, people, there is that gaming community that's wanted and have been clamoring for it. But to me, justice can't be done to this story and the potential in this time period in the current medium. I love books. I love comics. I like many video games, not the biggest MMO guy, but I love all of those things, and those are fun entertainment. But to me, when I'm talking about my Star Wars, I think it is best served either on television or on the big screens. And I just, looking at it as a larger issue, this time period deserves to be released on screen, not a computer screen.
And frankly, they've put so much work into these cinematic trailers and these intros these cinematics overall that, frankly, they could cut them all together and make them into a movie. Probably someone on YouTube will at some point.
We have 4.5 plus 5, 9.5 plus 6. I had to do math out loud there a little bit. All right, we've got over 16 minutes worth of footage in just the Blur trailers. What I want to know is how expensive these things are to make. Because when I was doing research, Blur is just basically a little warehouse in Southern California where these guys do nothing but make trailers for big video games. And it's not just Old Republic, and we've been saying Blur, Blur, Blur. That's what this company does. I mean, it's not, we're not like worshiping at the feet of these animators. I mean, it's great work, but that's what they do, is make these awesome cinematic style trailers. They did it for, I think, the Batman Arkham Asylum game. They did it for
that was a great trailer too.
Yeah, and the DC Universe Online trailers. Some of those
they did that one too.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. So a lot of these, another awesome trailer.
Exactly.
Keep throwing them at me, man.
And everyone always says this: it's easier to make a good trailer, but these things are cinematic masterpieces, and they deserve to be on the big screen, seen by a larger community than just the MMO community.
And we've shown the Deceived and the Hope trailers to people who are professed non-Star Wars fans.
Exactly.
And they liked it. And
did you do what I did and told them that was a preview for the new movie? Because I did that to like everybody when Betrayal came out. And they're like, that's a movie? Oh, man! And I'm like, no, it's just a game trailer. Oh, are you serious?
And
that's going to be a game?
Yeah, that's the general reaction. And that just, it's not the same to be staring at it on a little laptop screen. Whenever one of these trailers comes out, the first thing I do is go downstairs, hook up the 5.1 surround sound system, boot up the HDTV, and put these things on a big screen, and we turn down the lights. We won't watch it during the day, even with the windows closed. It's got to be pitch black. We have our dark room, and then we watch the thing. And it's amazing.
We're not at all obsessive about it either.
And so
I see it now. Bethany, quick. I got the new stereo plugged in. Watch. The Death Star 2 is going to blow. Oh, look, all the pictures fell off the wall.
Yes, actually, something like that. Without watching Etowon Star Wars Revisited, that's remarkably accurate. All right, well, before we leave the Old Republic, that was kind of a long tangent. We were talking about the fellow from IGN that Bethany read his quote, where he was kind of convinced, where he wasn't a big MMO fan before, but he is now. And then this is a interview that IGN did with the lead writer for The Old Republic, Daniel Erickson. Here it is. Let's give it a listen.
Star Wars The Old Republic is a giant story-based MMO coming from BioWare. And at E3 this year, we are showing, one, raids. That's a big announcement. We said we had them, but we never got to show them off before. First raid we're showing is called the Eternity Vault. It takes place on Belsavis. Belsavis is an ancient world that was a prison originally. Multi-parties working together, coordinating, fighting really big bosses, big challenges. It's different from what you might be used to for raids because there's still a lot of story content. It's very contextual. There's really cool moments in there that really show you a lot more about the Star Wars galaxy. One of the great things about having the Old Republic is we're 3,000 years before the events of the original movies. So we can do anything we want. What I always say is as long as we can clean the galaxy up in 3,000 years, we have the ability to do big stories, destroy planets, move stuff around, really have our own big villains. We've got, you know, the whole Sith Empire here that nobody's gotten to see. But for fans, we really want them to feel home and comfortable as well. So we always say this is everybody's Star Wars. So even if you only know the movies, you get to go to Tatooine, you get to go to Hoth, you get to go to Alderaan before it explodes. You get to see how beautiful it was, the things that are missing, and you actually get to be a part of that history. One of the things we kept getting asked is, hey, so we met a Yoda-type thing, or a Yoda guy, and people will start to ask about him. He's Master Otag. He's from one of the Flashpoints, which are our story-based sort of... It's our equivalent of dungeons, but much more story-based, cinematic. You get choices. But anyway, people keep trying to walk around, and they go, what are those guys called? Come on, you know the Star Wars stuff. Truth is, nobody knows what they're called, except maybe George. We have the official thing from LucasArts, which refers to them as a unidentified tridactyl species. It's all we or anybody else knows. Star Wars The Old Republic is still slated for a 2011 release on the PC only.
And catch that, slated for a 2011 release.
Okay, oh, so man.
that prison planet, that right there, I forgot all about that. You remember when they first were showing us the trailers of Hoth and all that stuff?
Yeah,
that planet has me interested. Oh,
yeah, but
and that's the thing this game can really capitalize on in the WoW type scenario. You
so
know, present a new planet, present a new planet.
Yeah,
yeah, we like to call it the WoW factor. Like double meaning there, a little bit of double meaning there. But no, but we watched that trailer, and that was gameplay, and it's just not the same as the cinematic parts. Now, granted, I'm not trying to whine too much. Not at least not too much, but...
So should I stick here in the background and go,
No, please don't,
Okay.
But I'm very glad at least that Blur is evidently making the cutscenes for this game. So if nothing else, we'll be watching YouTube like a hawk and doing that.
It's not entirely confirmed, but Blur did the opening cinematic, so it's assumed that they will be doing all of the true game cinematics throughout.
And they have previously confirmed that the trailers that they've shown previously are cinematics during the game as well. So we've pretty much all but guaranteed that. So yes. Woo, a lot of tour talk. This is the tour episode, really.
My tongue's all tore up talking about it.
Oh, my.
All right, well, that was not the only Star Wars news coming out of E3. We also had the Star Wars Kinect game.
Star Wars.
Yes, yes.
It sounds better as Star Wars Kinect,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Neither sounds very
good. I agree.
Good.
I think that's because we're trained that way for Star Wars fans. You know, it's Star Wars, Fate of the Jedi,
Star
Apocalypse,
Wars, The
Star
Old
Wars,
Republic,
New Jedi
Star
Order,
Wars,
Star by Star.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, all right, have you seen any of the trailers for this, Mark, or the gameplay?
I have seen the one from E3, that trailer. Gameplay, I haven't seen, but at the same time, you know, that's such a... It's such a trendy area right now in a game that's not quite coming out yet. You know, I mean, you watch it and you think, do they got a ways to go? I always kind of wonder if when they show this stuff early, if they're shooting themselves in the foot with fan enthusiasm. If they, my gosh, that game don't look fun at all. Or that doesn't look like it's working very well.
It's not complete.
Well, yeah, we saw the game and they showed it off there. And I love the general concept of Star Wars Kinect. I Kinect Star Wars. See, it's getting me too.
Yep.
I mean, when I was watching it, I remember seeing the guy doing the Jedi stuff, and he's, you know, lifting his hand up, using the Force. And then you see him, like, do a cartwheel, and I'm thinking, how in the heck did the Kinect know he did a cartwheel? But then I guess it's on rails, that part of the game, which, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, Kinect's a new technology, and as soon as it came out, I think every Star Wars fan out there was like, oh, dude, here we go. This is what we wanted with the Wii. And I say that because I have a Wii. So it's like we went out, got the Force Unleashed, And it was fun. You know, I'll admit, when I was doing the TK and all that stuff, it was really awesome. But we went out and bought the lightsaber editions so you could have the lightsabers so it could feel a little more like Star Wars. Worst idea ever. Yeah, it looks good. Except for now, the little sensor thing has very little sensitivity because you got a giant blade covering it. And, you know, you go to play a computer, you're going to get handed, you know, every time. Vader's going to whoop your butt because the computer does not have the limitation you have. So we ended up taking it off, and still, you got the little Wii remote, and you got something in your hand, and so you're kind of like, oh, no. I almost feel like I'm doing Star Wars. And so you see the Kinect stuff come out, and you're like, okay, they're going to get it right. But yeah. Then, you know, I'm watching that trailer, and I'm thinking, how's he going to do the moving? And so, you know, it's like there's a lot of possibilities and potential here, but at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of trial and error, and so yes. I fear for a game like this that it might be one of those where they're trying a lot of things and the game wasn't so successful because they were trying this or that out, and they found out, yeah, this element of the game works great, this one wasn't so good, if we'd have done something else, the game would have been epic, and then your sequel game would be the better game. But yes. Again, it's a new technology, so it's tough to say, and yeah. You know, and I only saw a very small trailer on it.
For those who aren't aware, with Kinect, it's... And you gamers are going to laugh at me, but I know we have some audience members who may not know this. Kinect is like a Wii without a remote. You use your hands or whatever you pick up around you, and you can use your hands and arms as if you were using a Wii remote. And with this Star Wars game, supposedly you can act like a Jedi, use your arm as a lightsaber and your left hand like to do force pushes and stuff, which looks really neat. In theory, it's a really cool idea. I'll have to wait and see if they get it correct. There have been complaints about lags, like if you do a force push, there's a bit of a lag before it comes. And the game isn't fully developed yet, so it's difficult to tell.
Yeah.
The Rancor one will be good. I that's the one I'm most excited for playing. Battlefront 2, you have a hunt where you can be the Wampas and that kind of stuff. That was fun. And I think about, swinging my arm and taking some creatures out. That reminds me very much of The Force Unleashed. And on the Wii, moving your hands and all that stuff worked great. So I think that mode of this game, I think that mode will be the most successful. I really think the Jedi mode is going to be the most limitations because, let's face it, Jedi can do anything.
yeah. Well, yeah, looking at the gameplay footage, there was a lag in some places, but to me, really, the most lag was in the lightsaber areas. The force pushes, the jumps, the force chokes, and where you would lift an item by reaching out. It was all pretty accurate, but granted, like Beth explained, the Kinect is multiple cameras looking at you and getting a semi-3D image of you when you're playing this game. It's literally watching you and replicating what you're doing into the console. And technology is just not to where that's going to happen super accurately. So, like, every single little move you do is not going to be perfectly replicated in this game. Although, another neat thing of note is that you're not on rails, as people might have thought, which is the term.
Oh, you're
that
not?
You're stuck going in one direction only. They do allow you some freedom in the environments when you're walking around.
Are you sure about that? I thought they said the Jedi mode was on rails.
There may be a mode on rails. The ones that I was seeing demoed was the multiplayer version. They were not on rails. Now, it was a fairly limited area of where you could go, so it's not like a big open world game, but it did look pretty good. So all that being said, it's a great concept, and I think I'm very excited to see how it does and where it goes, because I think this is basically what people have wanted to do for a long time, and that is be a Jedi.
Well, and going back to the Nintendo 64, the Star Wars Episode I Pod Racer, that was a fun game. When I saw the demo for that, I was like, ooh, that looks like... They had an arcade version of the game. Have you guys ever seen that one?
Yes.
That's what I thought of. You know, the way that they were pushing their hands in front, I'm like, that will be fun. I think there's got a lot of good modes here. I think the one that they're going to have to look at and work on the most is going to be that Jedi Destiny mode. Because that's the one, like I said... Jedi can do anything, and games can't unless they're programmed to.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we'll keep an eye on these stories as further developments. And this has really been the gaming episode of the Star Wars Report. But I enjoyed our conversations. Then bring us the Tor television series.
Or the mini, anyway. Or the mini series.
Let's see.
I would even settle for them doing, like I said, take a book, take a good chapter, give it to Blur, let them make a little, hey, book readers, check this cool video out. By the way, it's not a game, it's a book.
That would be pretty cool. All right, and before we go, there is one other little game. One little guy that's in the background. Of course, that's Clone Wars Adventures, as we mentioned at the outset of the show. And they announced a bunch of new features and updates. I won't go into it all, but you can visit our show notes and check it out, and if you're interested in that type of thing. But they released a pretty cool little trailer for that. So let's give it a listen, and then we'll go ahead and head out of the show. That'll do it for this episode. But stay tuned after the credits. And we've got a special treat for you, courtesy of Mark Gunn.
The galaxy has descended into conflict. War has erupted on countless worlds. And the forces of the Republic are all that stand against the rising tide of the Dark Side. The Jedi Order needs heroes like you. Protect the cloning facilities of Kamino from the Separatists. Defend the Twi'lek homeworld of Ryloth. Overcome the dark side on Dathomir, and stop the droid armies at all costs. Whether you're leading the Republic in battle, getting your droids combat ready, or building your home on a distant world, become the Jedi you were destined to be. Clone Wars Adventures, the Force is in you.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. I'm so glad. Hopefully you stuck with us. And actually, you know what? I'm very curious. If you're listening now, let us know what you think of the idea of having an Old Republic television series, miniseries, movie. And the ways you can do that is send us an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Once again, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. I had to think about it there for a second. Also, you can find us over on Facebook, facebook.com/StarWarsReport. You can find us on Twitter as well, twitter.com/StarWarsReport. And of course, never forget our website, where we are going to have so much more awesome content posted there. More blog posts, more YouTube videos, more show notes, more Star Wars Report goodness. So definitely head over to StarWarsReport.com. And give that a listen. And we're recording this and still waiting for our little show to show up on iTunes. So
yes.
Maybe after this recording, it'll be in iTunes very soon. And if you would be so kind to swing by and give us a 5-star review, that would be awesome. We want to spread the word and let people know about the show as much as possible. So don't forget that. And
just because you're on iTunes and can't get it, don't forget you can go to our website and download it directly from there and upload it to iTunes yourself.
That's right. Yeah, our episodes are available, just not quite as easy to get quite yet, but we will be remedying that. And stay connected with us and other listeners in our forum, the Bothan Spinet Forum, over at the EUCantina.net forums. And go find us there. And don't forget, we air every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Middle Earth Network Radio. So tune in. If you're not able to hear the podcast regularly, you just hate downloading these stupid MP3s, well then just tune in to Middle Earth Network Radio at MiddleEarthNetwork.com and listen to us old school style with the radio jammed to some radio tunes. Alright, that's going to do it for this episode, the E3 episode of the Star Wars Report. Thanks once again everyone for tuning in.
And remember to stick around.
Yep, we've got more Star Wars goodness. And we'll see you at Celebration 6, hopefully. That's going to do it for this episode. For the Star Wars Report, this has been Riley.
And Bethany.
And Mark and R2.
And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Sister. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one last on my right, another on my left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. Long time ago in a pub far away, I sat on a bar stool just a drinking away. I couldn't hold it down, I guess I had too much. I felt a tremor in the force and then I lost my lunch. Woke up in desert land, feeling hot and sick. I saw beard and man, he looked like some kind of pick.
Just like Mark.
He slowly waved his hand and my pain was gone. He said, let's go see Yoda and I'll teach you the song. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one glass on my right, another on my left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. We got a starship and we flew off into space. He said his name was Obi-Wan, there was no time to waste. I have to get you trained before it's too late. So drink this bottle of whiskey and don't give in to hate. Training on and I drank most of the bar. We had to stop all force flies in the nearest Death Star. I had to control my fear and hold my alcohol. Soon I was able to stand when Obi-Wan would fall. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one that's on my right, another on my left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test.
He's not the bard you were looking for.
It's Chihuahua!
Sat outside him and I looked him in the eye. He looked right back at me and said, judging by my size, Obi-Wan said, careful, for Yoda is the best. I said, okay, shorty, bring on that test. Well, I can tell you how it ended, I can tell you some lies. But let's just say that on that night, the force was on his side. I got riled up, they threw me in jail. I said, I don't believe it, Yoda said that's why I failed. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one that's on my right, another on my left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one that's the only right, another on my left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. Well, I looked that Muppet in the eye and said, give me the test. Well, I looked that little runt right in the eye.
The Force should be with you, always.
Amen.
I love that song.
Nice. That was Mark Gunn and the Brobdingnagian Bards. Of course, Mark Gunn from the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast. He actually sent us that song personally, which is awesome. So I'm
awesome.
Happy to play that on the show. And I've enjoyed that song quite a bit. The Jedi drinking song.
I need a copy of that, because that is total Irish drinking song music.
Yes.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, I think you can find it on find his CDs on CD Baby as well, and you can find all of his music there. But yeah, if you're into Celtic music, check out the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast, and thank you so much for sending that to us.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we're going to head out of here, guys, but you guys have a great week. And may
See
the Force be with you
always.